You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, back we are, Music of the Stars.
The Music of the Stars.
Live on the Civic Media Radio Network. My kind of holiday. Kind of thing where you can be anything you want to be, within reason. Let's see, who can we have as our next Halloween guest? What do you think of when you think of Halloween? Yeah, him too, but... How about Betty Grable?
Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize how this holiday came about? When it all started? Why it exists? Well, we're about to tell you. It ain't no fairy tale, but it's grim.
Once upon a time in the long, long ago, man's courage was high, but his spirit was low.
People grew tired of all work and no play. They felt the need of a jolly holiday.
Then along came Christmas, along came Easter, along came 4th of July.
Then along came a man by the name of Berlin, who took every holiday that ever has been.
He wrote about Christmas.
He wrote about Easter.
He wrote about the 4th of July.
His mind was fertile and his pen was keen.
But he never wrote a word about Halloween.
Halloween, Halloween. Hot jack-o'-lantern, it's Halloween.
Apples hanging high. There's a big pumpkin pie in the sky. Children sing, children waltz.
Who gives a darn if your face is false?
Jump on your broom like a witch. Go and toss all your gloom in the ditch.
Go out on the street for a trick or a treat.
You're a cinch to strike it rich.
Halloween, Halloween. All other holidays fall between.
The night of All Hallows,
so light up the tallow and make it a bright Halloween.
Owls and bats, howls from cats, may scare the buttons right off your spats. We'll now go dramatic with ghosts from the attic and make it a bright Halloween.
Night full of frightful, delightful old suits. It's how.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, October 31st is just a few days away, and people throughout the United States now are preparing for the big day, which, of course, is Halloween. Now, you remember Halloween, don't you, Tommy?
Oh, yeah, boy, yeah. Do I remember Halloween.
You know, I remember Halloween when Mom would give me her great big old pillowcase, and I'd go out and get it all filled with candies and cookies and goodies and nickels. And
now I remember.
Big Newtons.
Now I remember Halloween, because Mom gave you... gave you a pillowcase for a lot of things to put in. She gave me a sock. A sock. You sure can't put much candy and stuff in a sock.
Well.
One banana and you're through for the whole thing. That's a whole sock. Come on, everybody. Fill up my brother's pillowcase with candy and money and toys and stuff and put a jelly bean in my crummy sock.
Don't put a banana in it because I can't get any jelly beans in there.
Come on. This is a happy holiday.
Well, I had tiny feet, too. Besides, those socks were your old socks. You wore them for a month. Mom said, here, take these rotten, dirty socks. Put something in it. It's no fun only having a sock when you had a pillowcase.
Are you through?
Well, you
are you through? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Halloween is here once again, and for those of you who are not familiar with it, I would like to briefly go over the story, the history of Halloween, how it originated.
I'd like to briefly go over the story of Halloween, how it came around.
How come you always get to tell a story?
Do you know the story of Halloween? Do you know it?
Everybody knows the story.
Don't generalize, Tom. I said, do you know the story of Halloween?
You don't think I know anything.
Yes or no? Do you know it? Do you or don't you?
You
come
think
on.
You know it all just because Mom gave you a pillowcase.
Okay. Okay, smart mouth. Tell the story of Halloween. Go ahead. Tell the people the story of Halloween. Be my guest.
I'm thirsty.
That's wonderful. I'm glad you're thirsty.
No. I don't need any water. I'll just tell the story, okay?
Yeah, just go ahead.
The story of Halloween. By Tommy Smothers. The story of Halloween. Once upon a time, many years ago, on a rainy and windy night, there was an old haunted house. And in this haunted house, there lived a wonderful little boy. A boy who would wake up in the morning and see his shadow and know that spring was here. A boy who would walk a mile to return a penny.
Halloween.
And this boy would also split rails, and he never lied to anyone, not even the time that we all remember when he chopped down the cherry tree. And because of this, when the little boy's birthday came around each year, everyone in town would run out and search for colored eggs. And they'd get painted. And they'd give painted hearts and unleavened bread, which they would send to their. They send us their hearts and their unleavened bread to their girlfriends.
Yeah.
And they had lots of fun.
Such a deal.
And then one day, when the fireworks were going off, everybody ran in their houses and had turkey dinner with cranberry sauce and stuffing and
candy,
the war
candy
and candy yams.
Candy yams.
And then the war ended. good as reason as any. The people cheered and the mothers and fathers received gifts from their sons and daughters, and everybody wore green because they found out the world was round. So they voted. They voted to grab their noisemakers and horns and drink champagne and really get drunk. And they, at exactly 12 o'clock that night, while Guy Lombardo was playing this beautiful song, should old acquaintance be forgotten? And sure enough, they never did forget. They all ran to their windows and looked, and lo and behold, as they looked out their windows...
Are you one of the frightened? Arthur Wingate was a fairly well-to-do lawyer in the small town of Morrisville. It's a quiet, orderly town. Nothing out of the way ever happens there, or so he would have thought for 30 years. But then one day, all of it changed, and his whole life lay before him, just like the day he saw those men digging that fresh grave just inside the cemetery gate on his way home from work. You resemble Arthur Wingate, friend, so listen closely. and you may avoid the terrible thing that happened to him. It had been a hot, dusty day in Morrisville. Possibly it was the hot sun, but a sudden headache came over Arthur Wingate. His hands were moist, his brow feverish. He decided to go home to his own farmland just over the hill beyond town. It wasn't too long a walk, and maybe the fresh air would do him some good, so Arthur Wingate left his office and walked slowly down Main Street. It was odd, but he met no one on the way. Soon he was drawing abreast of the long, low-lying wall that bordered Morrisville's only cemetery. The rhythmic sound of pickaxes attacking the soft sod came to him from beyond the wall. Someone had died. Life and death went on in Morrisville, same as any other town. But opposite the front gate, the sounds of digging were loudest. Arthur Wingate suddenly halted in confusion. No one had died recently, to his knowledge, except, of course, the Starkey boy, and his burial had been a month ago. Puzzled, Arthur Wingate went into the cemetery, and just inside the wall, two men were grimly spading the earth into heaping, ugly mounds. The heads and shoulders of the men were barely visible. Wingate approached them and asked them what they were doing. The faces of the two men were strange to him, but they both seemed to consider his question even stranger. "Somebody died," the taller of the two sneered, and they both jeered at Arthur Wingate, whose headache was suddenly worse. Feverishly, he stumbled from the cemetery and finally reached home. The day had been too much for him. He fell into a long, exhausted sleep, but his mind wouldn't let him rest. The scene at the cemetery stayed with him. Who could have died? Arthur Wingate felt the cold wind of something fan his spine. He had a curious sensation of unreality that he could not shake off. He couldn't wait a second longer. He left his home near midnight and ran to the cemetery. It looked eerie, forlorn, and cold in the moonlight. The metal gate squealed as he stepped inside. He splashed light in the direction of where he remembered the grave to be. It was still there, but there was something else, too. A pine box was placed to one side of the grave, its lid angled backward to show its contents. Arthur Wingate drew nearer and slowly, fearfully aimed his flashlight at the interior of the oblong box. The fact that it was empty was far more frightening than if it had been occupied. There was a tag on the box dangling from a metal hinge. The wind in the graveyard howled and tore at the thing as Arthur Wingate held it up to the light. Scrawled across the tag in a spidery hand were the words, "Arthur Wingate, 1907-1957. He saw no more. A hideous scream ripped from his throat and he pitched forward into the empty box, the lid slamming down behind him, shutting him in. Of course, when they found him there the next morning, he was dead. Heart attack. Nothing had been written on the tag except a series of number indicating the grave's dimensions. And the box had been for the Starkey boy because his grave was being moved at his mother's request. But Arthur Wingate had met his death. By premonition, by fate, by manifest destiny? Yes, perhaps. It's an interesting tale, isn't it? Quiet, unusual. But I hear them all the time. In my business, you understand. Huh? Oh, I'm an undertaker. Can I interest you in a plot of ground at our summer rates?
Morris, you know, I'm really a fan of yours.
That's very kind of you indeed, Vincent. Thank you.
You know, I saw one of your pictures last night.
Did you really?
Yes.
What a coincidence. I saw you the night before.
Really? Tell me, was that your last picture?
I hope not. The two of us, no boogeyman is greater than the two of us. The people scream about the team of Karloff and Price, although we're as nice as can be, my buddy and me. There's just the two of us,
and we'll be always traveling on. The two of us, there's lots of gory pictures for the two of us. He used to shine as Frankenstein and I was the fly.
They forced us to die every time to pay for the crime.
They killed the two of us, but we'll be always traveling on. And late in the evening we come out and play
a couple of monsters on their merry way.
Go to the graveyard for a corpse or two.
So treat us kind, or you may find the next one is you.
That's enough. That's enough. See if you can stop him, Mr. Karloff.
You take on, you get.
Oh, no, take a crack at it, Dancy.
Well, nice to know you've still got it.
Oh, you startled me.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's just that I'm...
Oh, you don't have to be explained, Rosemary. In the mornings when I look into a shaving mirror, I frighten myself.
You do?
Well, how would you react to the sight of a razor held against your throat by Boris Karloff?
Boris, I'm afraid you've been seeing too many of your own movies.
Well, perhaps. But I confess someday I would like to do something a little different. Maybe a show for children.
Boy, that'd get them to eat their spinach. I tell you what, why don't we see how you would make out with the kiddie show right after this message from our host?
Attention, all you TV announcers.
Colin! Colin! Peter! Colin! Peter! Peter, you all right?
Boys and girls, are you all ready for another story from your Uncle Boris? Good. Pull up your chairs nice and close to the television set. Careful there, Guy Michael. Not on the pussycat's tail. That's better, dear. Now let's begin our story. It's called...
You gotta stay one step ahead. Stay one step ahead. Tune in to what's happening now and stay one step ahead.
When they tell you read page one, read three more, you'll find that the very next day when you are done, the group is way behind.
You gotta stay one step ahead. Stay one step ahead. Tune in to what's happening for him. Stay one step ahead.
Oh, I'm not going to chase you anymore. It's much too strenuous. I think I'll try charming her. You know, I'm really not such a bad sort once you get to know me. I'm not so good in a crowd, but when I get you alone, you'd be surprised.
He isn't much at a dance, but then when he takes you home,
you'd be surprised.
He doesn't look like much of a lover,
but don't judge a book by its cover.
He has the face of an angel, but there's a devil in his eye. He's such a delicate thing.
But when I start him to squeeze, you'd be surprised.
He doesn't look very strong, but when you sit on his knees,
you'd be surprised. At a party or at a ball, I've got to admit I'm nothing at all.
But in a Morris chair,
you'd be surprised.
He's not so good in a house, but on a bench in the park, you'd be surprised.
I'm not so much in the light, but when I get in the dark, you'd be surprised.
On a streetcar or in a train,
you'd think I was born without any brain.
But in a taxi cab,
you'd be surprised.
John Agar is the nice-looking young man, introduced by John Hoyt to pretty June Kenney. And when boy meets girl, well, they do what comes naturally. But the loss of love has made this mild-mannered man into a maniac. A maniac who wants to make you a plaything. And the fearsome fact is, he knows how to do it.
I'm your friend.
How would you like to be a living doll? This madman can do with as he pleases. A monster, his own woman, had reason to flee.
Susan, you must sing for us.
No, I don't want to sing.
But you will, my dear, or back in the bottle you go.
You're a dolly, you're a dolly. You're so cute and lovely, dearest little doll. Say you want me to be near you, to be yours forevermore, my little doll. You're so precious, you're so darling. You are all that I could want, a living.
Was Susan Gordon. Her daddy's from Kenosha. Bert Gordon.
Good evening. Now on our second half, Bert A. Gordon's next movie is The Beginning End. What makes this interesting, it deals with Chicago, even though it was filmed in Los Angeles. And when we think of Chicago, there's one director known as Herschel Gordon Lewis. I almost said Bert I. Gordon, but they had something in common. They're both in the same city, or next to the same city. One was born in Kenosha, and one did a lot of the movies in Chicago and in Florida. But this is movies deals with giant grasshoppers. And dealing it in Chicago, I had to hook up with Herschel Gordon Lewis.
I'm certain I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way.
Look into my eyes. If I ever meant anything to you, and I believe I did, then help me, Paula. Give me another chance. Look, in the drawer of that cupboard over there, there is a knife. Get it and cut me free. Be quick, Paula. Get me the knife, cut me free. Will you get it, Paula? Would you get it for me?
Yes, I'll get it. I'll get it for you.
Hurry, Paula.
There's no knife here.
Yes, I put it there. Look,
I don't see any knife.
I put it there tonight.
No, it isn't here. You must have dreamed you put it there.
You're driving me crazy. What did I do? Tell me, what did I do? My tears for you, thank you, make everything hazy, crowding my skies a little blue. How true were the friends who were near me to cheer me when I needed you? What did I do? What did I do to you? My tears for you make everything hazy, clouding my skies of blue. How true were the friends who were near me to cheer me when I needed you? But you were the kind who would hurt me, desert me when I needed you. You drive me crazy. What did I do to you?
Are you suggesting that this is a knife I hold in my hand? Have you gone mad, my husband? Or is it I who am mad? Yes, of course, that's it. I am mad. I'm always losing things and hiding things, and I can never find them. I don't know where I put them. That was a knife, wasn't it? And I have lost it. I must look for it, mustn't I? If I don't find it, you'll put me in the madhouse. Where could it be now? Perhaps it's behind this picture. Yes, it must be here. No. No, where shall I look now? Perhaps I put it over here. Yes, I must look
to you. I needed you, but you were the kind who would hurt me, desert me when I needed you. you driving me crazy. What did I do? You bugging me, baby, blowing my top. Everything's crazy. It's gotta stop. I'm going crazy. You do the job I'm not having me.
I lost at the tower. I found it at last, you see, but it doesn't help you, does it? And I'm trying to help you, aren't I? Trying to help you to escape. How can a mad woman help her husband to escape?
But you're not mad.
Yes, I am mad, as my mother was mad.
No, Paula, that wasn't true. Help me.
If I were not mad, I could have helped you. Whatever you had done, I could have pitied and protected you. But because I am mad, I hate you. Because I am mad, I have betrayed you. And because I am mad, I'm rejoicing in my heart without a shred of pity, without a shred of regret, watching you go with glory in my heart. From the world, Mr. Cameron, come! Come, Mr. Cameron, take this man away! Take this man away!
And presents the music of Billy May and his orchestra.
That was Billy May and the band. This is the music of the stars.
Let it be the tree that fill the breeze with rare and magic perfume.
Susan, you must sing for us.
No, I don't want to sing.
But you will, my dear, or back in the bottle you go.
You're a dolly. You're a dolly. You're so cute and lovely, dearest little doll. Say you want me to be near you, to be yours forevermore, my little doll. You're so precious, you're so darling, you are all that I could want, a living doll. Never leave me, don't deceive me, stay with me forevermore, my living doll.
Homer and Jethro right there on The Music of the Stars, playing it straight. Music of the Stars, our Halloween special. Hey, by the way, if your network station goes off and the Music of the Stars gets cut out at 11, we're still on the air. You can still hear it at civicmedia.us till high noon central. Thanks for being here. Happy Halloween. Jethro. Music of the Stars want to welcome all our listeners on WZTI Milwaukee. James Darren.
Sweet. cigarette holder, which wicks me over her shoulder. She takes me out catting that satin doll. Baby, shall we go out skipping? Careful, amigo, you're flipping, speaks Latin, that satin doll. Now she's nobody's fool, but I'm playing it cool as can be. I'll give it a whirl, but I ain't for no girl catching me. Telephone numbers, well, you know, doing my rumbas with you, know, and that's my satin doll. Out catting that satin doll. Satin doll. Now she's nobody's fool, but I'm playing it cool as can be. I'll give it a whirl, but I ain't for no girl catching me. Telephone numbers, well, you know, doing my rumbas with you, know, and that in that satin doll. Speaks Latin, that satin doll. Out catin my satin doll.
Look at those moves, swaying side to side. Come my way, put your arm in mine, sweet thing. What do you say we pick up Sammy Nestico and his lady and blast off to some other planet? I hear things are pretty cool up on Jupiter and Mars. Okay, light it up.
Steve McQueen's first really important picture.
If it had a mind, you could reason with it. If it had a body, you could shoot it. If it had a heart, you could kill it. Now, man is no longer the supreme being on this planet.
The organism is growing at a geometric rate. By all accounts, it's at least 1,000 times its original mass.
Nobody believes me about what happened tonight.
What did happen?
You were there, you saw.
Plasmid, life form that hunts its prey. Predator.
I want that organism alive.
I think you ticked it off.
The Blob. People used to say, Steve, I love you in The Blob. He said, I just made that for the money. Burt Bacharach wrote this.
Of the Blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the Blob.
Thank you.
beware of the blob. It creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob. Oh, key change. Scary. The blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob. Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A blotch, be careful of the blob. Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps.
Really write this?
Are you one of the frightened? Have you ever tried to run away from something? You do everything in your power to put something off, defeat the hand of fate, and then it happens anyway. Oh, you must know what I mean. Surely in your own lifetime you've tried to avoid someone or something, only to have destiny come upon you as inexorably as the grave approaches us. Draw your chair closer to the fire. No, 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 don't draw away. That's a mistake. I'll show you why. Have you ever heard the incredible tale of Vashtu Singh? He was a Hindu manservant, and what happened to him in India a long time ago is something no living soul can afford to ignore.
Music of the stars. Now let's pause for news. Find out what the real scary stuff is in this crazy old world of ours. One more hour of the music of the stars for the holiday.
This is the night that nearly was ours before, and we can run.
frightened. Do you have...
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.